There is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be. Good morning. Good to see everybody here. It's another beautiful fall morning, fresh and crisp, and it's a glorious time of our year where we live, and we are thankful for it. So welcome to all that are here. Special welcome to the family of Kevin and Ashley Holsworth. So we're here for Granger's baptism this morning. That's an exciting day. So welcome to all of you in our worship service this morning. Some other announcements I have to go over before we go on with our worship service. Next Sunday is Mission Fest Sunday. You've seen it announced. We will have Mr. Eric Clues here from the Abbott House in Mitchell, sharing of their ministry. Quite an incredible work that they do with teenage girls, mostly. They have a place in Mitchell. They have a place in Rapid City. He'll tell more about that. But when I get the letters from time to time throughout the year of situations that these kids come out of, about brings tears to your eyes just to read them. And so they're ministering to these young girls, bringing them through. So as you see, the 90% of the offering will go towards the work of the Abbott House. 10% will go to the FCA at Menno High School. We've had that pattern for a lot of years. We will also have potluck dinner after church. So I hope you can stay, join us for that. The junior choir will be singing next Sunday special music. The following Sunday on the 31st, the cherub choir will be singing. So make sure you pay attention to that. The high school youth group is sponsoring the food pantry. You have until next Sunday to bring items. This goes to the Bethany Food Pantry over in Freeman, which they service several families from our Menno community there. So It's a wonderful blessing to help them in that way. The flowers, the two up on the railing here, these two higher ones, those are given in memory of Marge Seiler. That would be Ann Ramus's mother. We had her funeral at Scotland this last Friday morning. So thank you for sharing those with us. And we continue to pray for the family during that time. This evening, we have contemporary service at 7 o'clock. So there was a good group here this morning during Sunday school hour as Tim went, shared, and he'll be sharing this evening. Wow, that was a great job, Tim. Thank you. Really looking forward to tonight. Tim was down at Mike Durfee State Prison for 19 years as an inmate. He had a large part in the prison ministry that we'd have done over the years there. He was the main guy, and God used him in amazing ways. This church helped him get his degree through Moody Bible Institute, and then on, I can't think of the other school name, but he got his counseling degree all while he was there, and now he's working for Kingdom Boundaries Ministry in Sioux Falls. He's 3 years out, and his wife Andrea is here, and their son, JP. Got that right? Yeah. So welcome to them. 7 o'clock this evening. Let me see. There's several things. Okay, this coming Saturday night is our men's event. We've done this for about 5 years, I'd say at least. We start at 5 o'clock. We have a special speaker that's listed in the bulletin. Supper. Justin Plister puts a lot of work into this. So there's a sign-up sheet out there in the narthex. It's open to men in the community and beyond. Hopefully we get more. Hopefully we get a lot more that are able to be here this Saturday night. One other thing, I believe, and that's it, that I want to call your attention. Oh, two things. The staff at the Menno School asked me to announce this Friday night in conjunction with the home, probably the last home volleyball game, I believe. They're having a staff scholarship supper in the old gym from 5 to 7:30, pork loin sandwiches and whatever goes with it. And it's a free will offering, and then that goes to give scholarships to a couple of the seniors at the school. Lastly, against the west wall of the social hall, there's two tables of items to be given away. We're with the storage shed, and we need the other classroom space upstairs, which is a wonderful problem to have. That thing was packed full of anything and everything for probably the last 40 years. So there's a lot of stuff we're going through, putting it out there. If you want it, please take it. The rest of the announcements I'll let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have made. As your word says, we rejoice in it and we are glad. We are glad, Father, for this Lord's day where we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We think of David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And here we are, and it is a joyful day, and it is exciting, Father, to come into your presence most of all, to be here to worship you, the living God, Almighty God, our Maker, our Creator. We worship you with all of our heart, spirit, soul, and body, and with all of our strength. We lift our voices in praise before your throne. So thank you for this day. And Lord God, as always, we ask that you would fill this sanctuary with your glory and your wonderful presence as you move among us by the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Our opening hymn is number 8 in the hymnal. The words will as well be on the screen, whichever you prefer. Victorious, beautiful singing. Thank you. Well, take a moment before you're seated and greet those around you, please. Okay, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Some things that I have down, certainly, as I mentioned, prayers for Ann and Brent Ramis and family of Marge. Also, just an update on Lee and Pat Palmerville. Lee, most of you know they've been going through just a lot of struggles, sort of taking turns, actually. It was recently that Lee had fallen and broken his hip. And then this last Monday or Tuesday, I forget the day, Pat was in a vehicle accident coming home about a mile from home and fractured four ribs and compression fracture in her lower back. Then she did have surgery this week on that. Went well. She is back home. Her sister Jackie is here from Oregon. A lot of you know Jackie. She comes every summer, and thankfully she's here to help. So please be praying for them. Also, Renee Serrata, as she recovers from her knee surgery, and Linda Zabe, and Sandra Fisher. Hers went okay? Went well? Okay. Surgery went well, but struggling now. The recovery. That's sort of how it is with Renee. She's been struggling a little more too in the recovery time. All right. Kevin's dad is Marlon. A lot of you know them. And then Marlon's brother Myron is here with us. We prayed for him a lot. If you all remember what has been that 2 years ago or what?
A year.
Well, praise the Lord. You look wonderful. So he says thank you for all of the prayers. Anything else over here? Judy. Okay. She is here. Yeah. That's okay. That's all right. Yeah. Prayers for Marilee's daughter, Glenda, who fell and broke a hip yesterday and surgery today. Yeah. So, anybody else over here? Melanie? Okay, Devin and Alyssa Bent's 9th anniversary is this coming Wednesday. God bless you. It's great. Over here? Lori Smith. Okay. Great. What's her name?
Naomi.
Nice. So Dugan and Lori Smith's daughter Carson gave birth to a baby girl this last Wednesday. They live by Dupree, Eagle Butte, south of Dupree. Little baby girl named Naomi. That's exciting. All right. Yeah, Jake.
On Friday, by the grace of God, I celebrated my fifth sober anniversary.
Awesome. Amen. Jake here, yep, amen. This Friday, he celebrated his 5th anniversary of sobriety, this last Friday. Wonderful, congratulations. Yep, that's wonderful. Carl.
Prayers for Ron.
Yes, prayers for Ron, that his leg, he has a broken
fibula.
Yes, he does, so we pray for healing there, right. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for anniversaries, birthdays, I'm sure not that were not mentioned. We thank you for Jake. What a wonderful report here, celebrating 5 years of sobriety by your grace, by your power working within him. We thank you for the Holdsworth family, too, as we're celebrating Granger's baptism, but We rejoice in that. We also rejoice with the family in Myron, the healing that has taken place through his physical body has been incredible, and it's wonderful to see him here, and we just thank you, and to you be all of the glory, Lord God. We thank you for, we want to lift up Glenda Walker here this morning. I don't know what time surgery is scheduled for, but we just lift her before your throne. Father, we ask for healing there and guidance and direction as you take hold with the surgeon's hands and do the work that needs to be done. We pray for healing throughout every part of her being, spirit, soul, and body, and especially in the time of recovery. Thank you for ministering to her, to Marilee, to the family, Lord Jesus. For these that are recovering from knee surgeries, Sandra Fisher and Renee Serrata and Linda Zabe and some upcoming in the future, but we just ask for your healing power to continue to work mightily within each of their bodies. For Lee and Pat Palmerville, Lord, we lift them up to you. It's been quite a struggle here. As she said the other day, they sort of feel like Job, and I imagine so. But Father, you had a plan in all of that, and you have a plan in all of this in their lives. And you are faithful and you are sovereign. So we thank you for just ministering your strength to every part of their beings as well, spirit, soul, and body, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your comfort to the family of Marge Seiler. And there's many others in our community who've lost loved ones in just these recent months. But you are the God of all comfort, your word says, and we thank you for ministering to them. Lord, for the harvest, some are done, some are still working on it. Whichever phase of that they're in, we just thank you for guiding and protecting and guarding, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what was out there in the midst of a drought year. It's truly amazing in some ways. From what was expected. Lord, I pray for Ron Schaefer too, healing in his leg, Lord, where that bone is broken. I know you are mending it. We will lift up Trinity Kasurik, who has upcoming surgery as well with a torn MCL, ACL, and meniscus, and Michael Nuss with the upcoming surgery in November with his knee. A lot going on, Lord, but you are aware of each one of these situations. Father, we pray for our nation. Daily we pray, asking for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, for your healing across this land, Lord. Guide our leaders. Father, your word says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, and we trust you in that, Father. Thank you for our military troops that serve so faithfully around the world and here at home. Keep them safe. Thank you for our first responders here in our communities in the Menno and Scotland and Freeman and the surrounding area and the vital role that they play. Lord, we just lift all of this before you. Give you all of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. For those visiting, we've just left the offering box in the back. Instead of passing the plates, we could pass them, but I won't go into the reason why. If you were here on Sunday school kickoff, you know. So, she's not listening. Psalm 127, verse 3. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly home.
Heavenly Father, we do have so much to praise you for your provision in our lives in every way, spiritually, drawing us closer to yourself. Our needs that you meet according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to bring the first fruits of the harvest back to you as an act of worship, as an act of faith, knowing that you are our source and our provider. So we give to you, Father, we give to your kingdom for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we do boldly proclaim here that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And so you are. Thank you for blessing these gifts, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll have the baptism now. If Kevin and Ashley and the kids want to come forward, please. Yeah, you can just stand right here. So what an exciting day. Kevin and Ashley Holsworth, you all know them. Kevin farms up north of Menno here, and Ashley is home, gets to be home right now.
That's right.
Yeah. So Paisley is in second grade. Brantley is in kindergarten, right? All right, and of course we have Granger here this morning. I want to read from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Jesus said, well, the gospel says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So I have four questions that I've gone over with Kevin and Ashley earlier this week. These are promises, vows that they are making before God on behalf of Granger and really Paisley and Brantley also, they've already done. So the first question, do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism that we are actually dedicating Granger unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Will you instruct and encourage this child to renounce the powers of evil? And will you teach him the word of God so that he may be led to profess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help him to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering Christ's mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian church so that he may affirm his baptism? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Thank you. Now on the screen here, we'll have a response. I'll read first, and then there'll be a response from the congregation. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism? as he grows in his knowledge of Christ. We promise
our love, support, and care to the Ranger Marlon Bolesworth and to his parents, Jeffrey and
Thank you. All right, we'll have a pledge from Mark Guthmiller, the chairman of our Christian Education Committee.
Representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Granger can be taught the Word of God, where he can grow up spiritually, and where he can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God as his Heavenly Father, and with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We would like to present Granger and his family with this baptism candle as a remembrance of this special day. We also have a little children's first Bible to give to Granger in hopes that his love for God's Word will begin at an early age.
Thank you, Mark. Got to get him situated here. Okay. Without waking him up.
Yeah.
Can come closer here if you want to see. Granger, Marlon, Holsworth, as we are here to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of water baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we worship you and bless you and love you. Thank you for this gift of life to this family, Kevin and Ashley, Paisley and Brantley. And here's Granger. Lord, as your word says in Psalm 139, you have knit him together in the secret place. It also says their Father, that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knows very well. And so we lift Granger up to you, Father, in thanksgiving at his baptism today. Thank you for your peace that rules in his heart, even now, as a little guy, hardly 2 months old. Father, let your Spirit work mightily within him. We pray that every muscle and cell and organ and tissue and fiber and vein within this body would grow according to your will and your plan that you have already laid out for him from eternity past. I thank you, Father, for a hedge of protection around him and upon him and on this family. Be with Kevin and Ashley, Lord, as they endeavor to raise these three children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you for blessing their home with great joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to bring him down, and you're going to sing to him, "Yes, Jesus Loves You." Let's see if he stays asleep here.
Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you, yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, this I know.
got your certificate. Congratulations. Okay, the children can come for the Kingdom Kids time. Thank you, Mark. Oops.
Here we go. You know, dear, it is a little dangerous to say things and then about me and then knowing that I have the microphone after you. I was listening and I'm thinking, what does the offering have to do with me? And then I remember Susie just told you something that you said yourself.
Right.
That you wanted five more minutes to preach. Okay, just take one. Just take one. One. Just one.
I didn't even get one.
Okay, just take one. It doesn't matter. Just take one. They're going to be noisemakers. Hurry, hurry. Pastor Mike, we got to hurry. Come on. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Take one. Just take one. Just pick one. Denise, can you finish this? Just tell them, just give them one if they're not doing it. Okay, go over and get one and then sit down, okay? Remember, go over there if you didn't get one and get one, okay? Do you have a sound, a noisemaker? Well, I'll tell you in just a second, okay? All right. It's so awesome to see all you boys and girls. Would you know, okay, sit down and listen for a few minutes, okay, and then we'll get to use those. Remember, we've been studying about the Israelites and Moses, and he, through God, brought them out of Egypt, right? And they're in the desert. Then remember last week they came to the Red Sea. You guys listening? Remember? Shh, turn around. They came to the Red Sea, and what happened to the Red Sea? It opened up because God caused a miracle, and they walked across. And so then they were in the desert for like, you know, 40 years, and Mike will talk about that in a little bit. But then God said, okay, it's time for you to go into the promised land. The land I have promised to give you, I'm going to do it. So they started to march. Everybody stand up and march. Come on, march. Let me see them marching. And then they came to a city, look behind you, Jericho. And this city was a tall, tall city. It had tall walls. And they were going to have to fight the people that were behind that. Whichites were it? Who was in Jericho? The people of Jericho. The Jerahites? I'm not sure who they were. Anyway, God told them, you're going to go in there. Well, how normally do you think they would go in there? To kill people. To the gate. They're going to go through the gate, and they're going to have their weapons, right? And they're going to kill them. Isn't that what we think would happen if you're going to conquer a city? But guess what? That is not what God said. Do you know what God told them to do? He said to get your priests and have the priests have trumpets, and you're going to march around this. You're going to march around this for 6 days. Okay, so you just watch. I'll let you march in a minute. They're going to march around, and they have their trumpets. If you have something,
how do you run this?
Well, you go like this. Got to use your voice. Okay, there you go. All right, so they're going around. You just stand there and watch, okay? And they're doing all their noises. They're trumpets only. No talking, though. No, only trumpets. They're going around 6 times. And then God says, on the 7th day time, you're going to go around it. 7 times. And on the 7th time, when I say, when the trumpets start blowing their horns, you're going to yell. Okay? Are you going to use this? I don't know. You got to use your voice. I know. They're cheap. Sorry. You're going to use your voice and you're going to shout. Okay? So you're going to follow me and then we're going to walk around this. All right? Now don't touch it yet. Okay? Don't touch it. Just walk around with me. All right? And blow your stuff or rattle your rattles. Go. Follow me. Just go around it. Come on. Go around it. 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 Now shout. Shout. Woo! And it came down. And it came down. The walls came down. Okay. All right. Okay. Shh. Listen. The walls came down. And then the Israelites went in there and they killed all the enemy. Now, isn't that something? They did what God told them to do. They obeyed him. Even though to us it sounded like, that is a crazy idea. You're going to go around a city and you're going to march around it. And then on one day you're going to shout. But you know what? They did what, boys and girls? They obeyed God. And you know what? In our day today, this is what we have. This is what tells us to obey God in here, the Bible, right? This is how we know. It says here in Matthew 22, this is what God says. Listen, okay, listen. Okay, your parents are going to have good luck with that when they go back to you. Sorry. Listen, Jesus said, this is what you're supposed to do. Boys and girls, listen, ready? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And you know what the second one is? Anybody know? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what God tells us to do. So even though when we go to school sometimes or when we're out in the world and watching TV, they don't think we should obey the Bible and do what God said, but we should. Everything that we do, we should line it up with the Bible. We should love God, and we should love our neighbors, okay? All right, now listen, boys and girls, when you go back to your seats, you have to be quiet with that thing, okay? All right, until after church, or I'm going to get in big trouble from Pastor Mike, all right? Okay, let's pray. Close your eyes, fold your hands. Ready? God, we love you so much, and we're so excited for all these boys and girls here. And we're just excited, Lord, that you are the one that directs us and tells each one of us how to go and how to live our life, loving you first and then loving others. Thank you for the miracles that you do, as you did when the walls of Jericho fell down. Thank you for loving us, and bless these boys and girls this week wherever they go. Help them to shine your light to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, and go get your papers. Thanks. Can you help me put those over there?
Okay, thank you, Ann. So parents, I think you're just going to have to confiscate those. Right? Tell them if they sit good, they can have it after church. Because otherwise the temptation is going to win out, I think. Thank you, Ann. She comes up with great ideas, doesn't she? While they're going back to their seats, we're going to sing number 34. He is Lord. Yes, he is. Well, praise the Lord for all the children. It's wonderful to have them and take time for them in our service. Jesus said, let the children come unto me and forbid them not, right? It's what he said. Some of the religious ones were getting all ruffled feathers about it. And so we thank God for them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. The very living word of God that we can look into and listen to. That by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, you open the eyes of our understanding and help us to live in obedience to your word. Help us, Father, to take your word as it is, truth, absolute truth, and we respond in faith and live according to it, Lord, in Jesus' name. I ask, Father, that you speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to read three verses there. We've been on Hebrews 11 through all of the summer and here into the fall. We're on verse 30, actually. I'm going to start in verse 29. Last week we were there. It says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And then Joshua 6, the first 21 verses, which I'll go through that as we're going through the message here rather than reading them all up front for you. So you have your outline in the bulletin if you want to follow that, fill in blanks. Hebrews 11, 29, when they came across the Red Sea, and then we come to verse 30, when they're conquering Jericho, we have to realize there are 40 years between those two verses. Verse 29 and 30, there is a 40-year gap. Moses led them out of Egypt across the Red Sea through the 40 years in the wilderness. He died. Remember, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. That's a whole other deal. But God took him up on Mount Nebo and showed him the promised land, which Mount Nebo today is in the country of Jordan. When Ann and I were over there, what's it been, 6 years ago now, I guess, we got to go over to Jordan as well as Israel, went up on top of Mount Nebo, looked where he would have seen. It was a hazy day, so we didn't see it that clear, but you could see off in the distance where the Jordan River was, and it's just amazing to be there where Moses saw that. So 40 years there. Why? Wonder why. Well, God is the reason why, of course, but beyond that, why God took 40 years space from verse 29 to verse 30. I believe it was because there were not very many examples of faith shown during that 40 years. There weren't. If you read through it, there were not. There were not very many examples of faith shown. That generation of adults that came out of Egypt, they really did not live by faith. They were so used to, I talked about it last week, of the slave mentality. That's all they knew. Slaves in Egypt, in bondage, told everything they had to do and when to do it. You get that mentality. And so they come out, they witness the miracle of coming across the Red Sea. Even before that, when they got to the Red Sea, and here comes the Egyptians, what? They start grumbling right away. Fear overtakes. Oh, this is why you brought us out of Egypt, because there weren't enough graves in Egypt to bury us all. So we'll all be slaughtered out here at the Red Sea. That's why they come across the Red Sea just a couple days after witnessing that mighty miracle. Don't have any water. Oh, this is why you brought us out, so our bodies would die in the wilderness. Every hardship they came, it grumble, grumble, grumble against God. They did not live by faith. For the most part, Moses did. We see two other young men that did, Joshua and Caleb, remember? When the spies were sent in to spy out the promised land, they came back with the good report. We are well able. God has given us the land. Let's conquer it. The 10 other spies can't do it. No, they're like giants. They are giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We cannot do it. And those 10 persuaded the whole nation. Isn't that something? How that works. 10 doubters persuaded the whole nation. And they all wept and cried, "We can't do it." So they did not live by faith. In Numbers 14, just a verse there, Numbers 14, 28, this was after the spies had gone in, and God says, this time, now we see his anger burning. He said, "As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. What was that going to be? In this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you who's 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census, and who has grumbled against me. We got to realize our words are so important. Sometimes we just let them fly. I texted Jay Herbold after the football game on Friday night. I don't know where you're at, somewhere here. Oh, there's his hand. He used to help chains with me. Cody was with me this Friday night. And the words were flying on that opposing team there. And when the coaching staff, the words are flying, guess whose words follow? The players. I texted Jay. I said, I needed you Friday night to help me with those guys. He's always the one that would say, hey, this is a minister here. Why don't you knock it off? And they would. Or one time I said, this was years ago, I got a bar of soap. I can help you with that mouth of yours if you'd like. And that sort of cut it. Anyway, wasn't meaning to get into that. They doubted this, their words. Grumbling. And God said, all right, I'm going to give you what you're asking for. Yeah, your bodies are going to die in this wilderness. They were totally not by faith. If we go to 1 Corinthians 10:5, that's part in your meditation of the bulletin. The verse 5 says, nevertheless, then this is talking about the group that came out of Egypt. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. You know what Hebrews 11:6 says, where we started on this whole series in chapter 11? It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So that's why, partly, I believe there's that 40-year gap between verse 29 and verse 30. All right, let's go on here. So God will make a way in the outline. God will make a way. Last week we looked with the Red Sea in our lives when you feel trapped by a circumstance, a situation. We've all been there. Many times when you feel trapped like they did at the Red Sea, there was no way forward, humanly speaking. There was no way backwards. The Egyptian army was right there. They were trapped. What? God will make a way. Today, in this account of Jericho, when you face a mountain, God will make a way. When you face a mountain, letter A. So Joshua 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Now, as we work through this, I realize we have learned this account of Scripture since it's probably one of the ones, little kids, we've known all the way up, right? You've heard this hundreds of times. So don't shut me off is what I'm trying to say to you, okay? We sing the songs about it and everything. It was tightly shut up because why? If we go back to chapter 2 of Joshua, it says, when the spies went in, they meet Rahab the harlot. She shelters them that night, which that will go into 2 weeks from today. She says this to them. When we heard of it, what's that? When we heard how God opened the Red Sea and you guys came across it, see, they heard of that 40 years earlier. When we heard of that and how they came across the Jordan River just very recently, the very same way, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you, the Israelites. Now listen to her confession of faith here, Rahab. She says, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She speaks it out. Now let's talk about this city of Jericho here for a little bit. So they were scared, but they were extremely well protected. So you want to put that first picture up, Caleb, on the screen, please? So this is, if you can see that there, a little bit light. This is an artist's rendition based on archaeological findings and things of the ancient city of Jericho. So in your notes, I say first there's the stone retaining wall along the bottom there to the city, all the way around, that was 12 to 15 feet high. That's pretty high, isn't it? On top of that, there was the mud brick wall, which you see that, sorry about my shaking. Right there, all the way around. That, they say, was 6 feet wide and 20 to 25 feet high. We're going up pretty big. Then there was, inside of that, as you see, there were homes inside there. Then there's another embankment, they say. It doesn't really show it so well on this, but on top of that embankment was the second mud brick wall surrounding that city. The base of that was about 46 feet above this ground level. And here you can't see it. They show there was like a ditch or a trench yet around that, they believe. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? A fortified city like that. On top of that, this they say what within the city of Jericho was the largest freshwater spring in that entire region. What a place to build your city. So they had the water supply. Chapter 3 of Joshua, if you look through back there, verse 15, it seems to tell us that this was at harvest time. Very likely the harvest had brought in. So they were well supplied to shut themselves in. No one went in, no one went out. And they could survive for a very, very long time. They had water as long as they wanted it. This, when we face a mountain, though, that seems impossible to penetrate, as that city did, God can make a way. God will make a way. It's not always as we think it should be, but He will. And He does. We have to remember that. See, now we got a new generation that God has risen up. A new generation of people. All those 20 years and old, they're all dead. That came out with that slave mentality. That stinking thinking, as I call it. We got Joshua, Caleb, young men, men of faith. Even Moses is an example of faith. He was all those 40 years. And this generation, they've heard about the promised land. I believe they're just chomping at the bit. Let's go, man. We are not going to die in this wilderness. Our generation is not. That's sort of how generations work today, right? I just pray. I know a lot. We're all praying for the young, the youth of our generation, raising up in faith. In this nation, standing for God, and those, whatever age we are, we have to stand for God too in His Word. God will make a way when you face the mountain. Number one, how? Follow God's instructions. Well, that sounds easy enough, doesn't it? If only we would or could. Follow God's instructions. Who's giving the instructions here? Jesus. In His pre-incarnate form as the Son of God. If you go back and look at the end of chapter 5, when you have a chance there in Joshua, it's literally the day or two before they're going to go conquer the city. They don't know how they're going to do it. And Joshua's there, and what happens? Chapter 5, let me find it here. It says, all of a sudden Joshua looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and asked, are you for us or against us? Are you for us or for our enemies? He replies, neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. You know, I love that verse. That's where that song, God of Angel Armies, comes from, right here. How do you know it's Jesus in His pre-incarnate form? I say because the very next thing that happens, then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. Okay? If that was just an ordinary angel, That angel, a regular angel, would not have accepted Joshua's bowing before him in worship. We've seen it happen a couple other times where it was an angel and the person bowed down and the angel said, "Stand up. No, I'm not. You don't worship me, you worship God." But Joshua falls face down before him. Jesus, before he was ever born in Bethlehem, in the appearance of a man. Was he physical flesh and blood? No, because that didn't happen till Bethlehem. This is a pre-incarnate appearance. Those times are so incredible. And he says to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." It's the other way. We know it's Jesus. He's going to give the instructions. Let's go to verse 2, Caleb, please. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" Right, that's by faith. Of course, Jesus is faith, right? "I have delivered Jericho into your hands. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark." That's the Ark of the Covenant that God had told Moses to build during that 40 years in the wilderness. "On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." All right, we saw before, humanly speaking, that city, impossible to penetrate. Humanly speaking, this plan made about no sense at all. What? But Joshua didn't say that. Did not doubt the Lord. He'd seen miracles. He had strong faith. How long to march around the city? I tell you, I looked quite a bit on commentaries this week, and you can find a lot of different things. The more common feeling was about an hour marching around. So they weren't running. They probably were not walking fast. They were just going in a regular march, about an hour around it. Then they go back home, right? Follow God's instructions. You might be thinking, "Well, if Jesus appeared to me and told me some instructions, I'd follow it." You know what? He has. He has. Right here. Now that we have it all written down. The Ten Commandments. All in the New Testament. The take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him. So much of today is all about self, self, self. That's the culture we live in. We got to resist that. No, it's about serving, having a servant's heart. Serving, you do so well in the life of this church. It's wonderful. But we have to be careful because that selfish nature is, we're born with that. Right? How about being fishers of men? That's his instructions to us. How about the Beatitudes? Tim read part of that this morning in Sunday school. How about bless those who persecute you and pray for those who despitefully use you? Yeah, that's his instructions. How about don't worry about tomorrow? How about prayer? How about in marriage? Things are so crazy. If you watch the news at all, now you've seen Augustana University. They just had their homecoming. Well, we're not having king and queen anymore because we want everybody equal. Maybe the students want 2 men to represent them. Maybe the students want 2 women to represent them. So we'll just call them nobles. So whoever gets the most votes gets it. Someone just told me this is a high school in the southeast part of our state. I won't say what. It's not Sioux Falls. It's not even a big city, but it's a decent-sized high school. Someone had the bright idea this fall, the same thing. We're not going to have king and queen anymore for homecoming. No, we're going to, if the kids want two girls, they can. If the kids want two guys, they can. And you know the name they came up with? We'll call them Thing and Thang. Can you imagine? And a high school boy, junior in that school, went to a teacher and said, you know, I'm going to be a senior next year. And not how do I know that I would be king? I don't, but that's something I've always looked forward to, for the possibility of being homecoming king. And the teacher says, what, so? And so the boy goes home and tells his mother. And he says, Mom, you got to do something. And she did. She got going on the phone, on the, well, probably Facebook, whatever, however, and got an army of parents in there to, I'm not sure if it was a school board or probably was, and they changed their mind. Thank goodness. Takes speaking up, doesn't it? Why'd they get in that? Well, marriage, I guess. Follow God's instructions when we face a mountain. Number two. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Who do you think of when you hear that phrase? Thomas, right. Remember, a week after the resurrection, he didn't see Jesus the first night when Jesus appeared to him. And he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, the where the sword pierced his side, I will not believe. He was miserable for a whole week. And Jesus sort of left him in that state of being miserable. Comes back the second Sunday night, appears to him, and Thomas believes, right? Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. Verse 6. Let's go on there. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to jump down to verse 10, Caleb, if that's marked in there. But Joshua had commanded the people, listen, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. That was the first day. I'm going to skip some verses again. It goes on every day. Same thing, same thing. Why did he tell them, don't say a word? Because he didn't want the grumbling to get started. Imagine their thoughts. We know the end of the story. We can look back and think, wow, how cool. What about if it was us today? I know before we came and here 17 whatever years ago, and there was a group that walked around the church in prayer. Awesome. There is power in prayer. Sometimes people think, oh, that's a little weird. No, it should not be weird. That should be normal. Should be normal part of our lives as believers, right? Sometimes out of our mouths, you know, if they were all walking or marching and talking and that, can you believe Joshua's having us do this? What in the world? What does he think, we're idiots? There's no way. Sometimes we face a mountain, sometimes worry sets in, which panic can set in, right? Sometimes discouragement can set in. We grumble and all that. If we're looking at the obstacle in relation to ourselves, it just looks impossible. If we look at that obstacle in relation to our God and our Father, nothing is impossible with Him, right? We say that all the time in His Word. Nothing is. Our words, here's some blanks, maybe I'm not here. Our words get us into trouble. Often they do. That's why Joshua commanded the people, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. If any of you have been on the walk to Emmaus, several have. It's not as active as it once was. But you know, that first night when you get there and have the service and when you're dismissed from the service, this is over in Inspiration Hills, you are told, no talking. From this point on until you wake up in the morning. You know how hard that is? When you're with, I don't know what, 40 men, and men go first, women go second, no talking. Till you have to do that, it's like, oh man, okay, guess we'll just go to bed, huh? Back to the city, a walled city like that, in that day, these were the potential ways to conquer a city. One would be, if you had the time and the equipment of that day, to try to tunnel underneath it. Could you imagine tunneling underneath that city of Jericho, as the picture showed, and not getting pelted by boulders and shot by arrows in the midst of it? Nearly impossible. The other way would be with ladders to go up over the walls, but again, you had to get past all the guardsmen on top of the city walls. Not a good chance. The other way you could, they had these battering rams that you see to try and break through the wall or the gate. Well, they didn't have a battering ram. They've been in the wilderness as wandering for 40 years. Fourth, you could try to starve them out. I talked about that. That wasn't going to work. Those were all men's options. You know what? God gave his option, which is always best. Might not make sense here, but it's his option is always best. And he's telling them that. God will make a way, number three. When you face a mountain, number three, you have to wait for God's timing. Wait for his timing. Boy, we struggle with that in our world today. Verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. So how long would that have taken? 7 hours, right? Except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. I bet that was just as raw, massive shout. We hear today in the NFL, is it Seattle Seahawks? They used to have the loudest stadium. You know, they measure the sound decibels. That's still the one. Somebody that knows, thank you. Just the roar of it. Shout. I'm going to jump way down to verse 20. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it. Men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Devoted to the Lord. Why? This was the Lord's victory. It was the Lord's doing. You say, wow, that seems sort of harsh. The plunder belonged to him. In our minds, maybe it doesn't make sense. Seriously, the donkeys, the cattle, the sheep, the children? This was God's judgment on, I'll have to look up what kind of ites were in the city. Canaanites, I'm guessing. I didn't look that up when my wife quizzed me there this morning. Wait on God's timing. What if they had said after the fifth day, forget it. It's not working. What if after the sixth day, you know what, Joshua, I'm done. I'm not marching around this city one more day. They did it by faith, complete, total faith. And whether you know, I've read some accounts, 2, where they felt on that seventh day with the march of the cadence, and that whether that weakened the walls, however it happened, God did it. Whoa. And archaeologists they know the site exactly. They've dug it up. They say it couldn't have been knocked down. It was a coming down with force, whoa, into the ground. It's the only way it could be is how they have found it, by the power of God. Follow his instructions. Stop doubting and believe. Not saying there won't be times of doubt, but overall, believe. Third, wait for his timing. See, that first generation that came out, they would not have, I don't think they would have followed Joshua. We've seen their example. But the second generation, they were chomping at the bit to go, and they did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are amazing, truly amazing. We love your word. It encourages us in difficult times. It encourages us if it's things we face in our family, our finances, our physical health, or in our nation. Lord, you are sovereign over all. We go forward in faith. We keep our eyes upon you. Help us to follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Maybe I didn't give you those last two blanks. When you're feeling, God will make a way, when you're feeling trapped, and the second one should have said, when you're facing a mountain. I had a typo there, so sorry about that. Amen. Standing on the promises. That's our closing hymn. So let's stand, please, if you're able, number 410. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And we always sing as a prayer for our nation, God bless America. Seated. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music. Have a wonderful day tonight, 7 o'clock, the contemporary service.